Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Amen, amen, and amen. Blessings and welcome, saints of the Most High God, freedomizers, family, and friends. You are now tuned in to the Tuesday Fellowship of the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries Program. I'm your host, the Lord's Servant Emmanuel here, and we are here to enlighten, encourage, instruct, and uplift the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we're going to get in. We're going to dive into the questions today. And also joining me is our dear sister in Christ, Sister Harper. God bless you, Sister Harper. How are you doing this afternoon?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, blessed and thankful as always. Thanks for asking. The every day above ground is a blessed one.
Amen.
Amen. But don't get me wrong. I see nothing wrong with going home either.
No, I don't have a problem with that.
Amen. Amen. All right. So before we go any further, let's just stop and take a moment out in prayer and usher in our Lord and Savior's Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name, dear God. The Lord God Jehovah, the source of life itself, the creator of all things, the great I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, the God of our Lord and Savior, Yahshua HaMashita, your Christ, Christ Jesus, who died on the cross on Calvary, who went and defeated death, hell, and the grave, and took the keys to the kingdom, then rose upon the third day, then ascended into the heavens, and is now seated at your right hand. In his name, Father God, we come before you with a repentant heart, Father God, seeking your grace and mercy. Father, we confess our sins before you, O Lord, for you told us in your word that if we confess our sins, that you were faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For this we tell you, thank you, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Father God, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our children. Father God, thy will be done. Hallelujah. We thank you, O God. Give us this day. We thank you, Father God, for our daily bread. Father, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Father, lead us not into temptation, for you told us in your word that you would go before us and make the crooked places straight and deliver us from all evil. For your Holy Spirit, you said, would lead and guide us into your truth. Father, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Hallelujah. Forever and ever. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We bless your chosen people, Israel. We pray for all of those that are under the sound of my voice, all of those that are in the chat rooms, those that are listening live, and those that are listening to the archives. Father God, I speak life into their bodies right now. I speak life into their minds, souls, and spirit, oh God. Hallelujah, Father God. I speak life into their marriages, life into their children, life into their finances. Father God, I pray for all of those that are behind the prison walls, that are in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, Father God, in the precious name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Lord. We just thank you. Father, we thank you, for we couldn't make it without you. Father God, you are our shield, our buckler, our strong tower. Father God, you are a present help in the time of trouble. And we thank you, Father. And we give you all the praise. Hallelujah. We give you all the honor. Father God, we give you all the glory, for you are more than worthy. Let us decrease, O God, as you increase in us, that you would be glorified through our lives. Hallelujah. Thy will be done. In Yahshua HaMashiach's name, your Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Day.
Yes, yes.
It's hot here. About that thing.
Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my brothers and sisters. So, Sister Harper, you say it's hot where you are.
Yes, it is.
I wish it was hot here.
Yeah, it's hot here. It kind of back and forth with us. I'm glad we're at the end now of this hot, cold stuff. We got a few more cold days in through April, I believe. It still gets chilly, but hot today.
Yeah, you know, you can't go by the calendar. I remember that the biggest snow Chicago had in 67 came in April. So
wow.
we never can count the winter out here until we see it in summer. We can't go by the calendar.
Yeah,
until
it's
amen.
Over.
Amen.
I started planning already. I planted, you know, my roses and planted geraniums and other flowers and I'm
going to
plant some vegetables, too.
Okay, well, sounds good. You got a green thumb, huh?
Yeah, it took a lot of trial and error, but I made it.
Amen, amen. We'd like to say good afternoon to everyone in the chat room. Sister Tessa, God bless you. Sister Kitty, play nice, Sister Kitty. Brother Hydro, God bless you, my brother. Brother Hydro asks, he keeps a brother on his toes. He asks a lot of questions, and we're thankful for the questions and what have you. We see mystery guest is in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
We see all the anonymouses in the chat room as well. God bless you guys. I saw Red Pill, Brother Kenneth from the Red Pill show earlier, but I guess he had to run off somewhere. But we thank you all for being here. We really do. It is our honor to be here for you guys, because that's who we're here for. We're here for you guys. All right. So today, our scriptural reading is coming from the book of Genesis. All right. Get your books out. If you don't have one, I'm going to drop the link into the chat room for you where you can read it right along with me. And I will be reading from the Strong's Concordance Bible, where anything that comes up that I feel needs to be addressed, any word, I will address it. This is after the 40 days and 40 nights. And there is something special here that I want to point out to you guys, and it'll be our text for today, and we'll get to it. But let's go ahead on to the Word of God. We're going to start at the 6th verse, and it reads, "And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Also, he sent a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st day, in the first month of the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kind went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord. And he took every clean beast out of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. And while the earth remained, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. My brothers and sisters, the 22nd verse is the text for today. Once again, it reads, While the earth remaineth, seed, time, and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing and the doing of his word, for we know that the word of God is already blessed. Amen. Amen. All right, my brothers and sisters. What we're focusing on is day and night, seed time and harvest, winter and summer, hot and cold shall not cease. This is what we're focusing on. My brothers and sisters, the point is seed time and harvest that we want to address today. My brothers and sisters, remember that what we are to do are to plant the seeds of God's truth everywhere to everyone that has an ear to hear. No, we don't force anybody. No. But if anybody asks, anybody addresses us, we let them know why we believe. The word of God tells us that we should always be ready to give an answer for what we believe in. And we need to be always be ready, Sister Harper. We need to, you know for ourselves, because like Brother Hydro in the chat room and Sister Kitty in the chat room, they always have questions. And we need to study to show ourselves approved.
Yeah.
So then that we may be knowledgeable enough to give an answer. I tried to get on Ron's Media Matrix before our show, and Ron wouldn't answer. I need to talk to you, Ron. we know that... he was talking about the aliens that are coming And everyone believes that there are going to be more and more aliens. The government is saying, oh, there are aliens now, and there are going to be more sightings and everything. Sure there are people.
Right.
Because they are nothing more than demonic demons. They're going to whatever shape that you are believing in, whatever you believe, that's what you'll see. If you just believe in little green men, that is what you're going to see. That is the big deception that God told us about in his word, that in the last days that there will be a great illusion, because people are going to be deceived in mass quantities. You are going to see aliens. You are going to see reptilians. You are going to see Nephilims. Whatever you believe, that's exactly what you're going to see. My brothers and sisters, the enemy has been planting these seeds since time began. And it's harvest time for him, because his time is almost short. And he has a vast following that believe these things. Do not get caught up, my brothers and sisters. These things are very real. You want to see a flying saucer? That's exactly what you'll see, is a flying saucer. My brothers and sisters, stay focused. Stay prayerful. All of these things are demonic entities. All of them. Every single one of them. And yes, the government knows that you will be seeing more of them, because they have been interacting with Satan for years. They know he real. We are the ones that don't want to believe that Satan is real, that he are doing these things. But these guys that are in charge, that worship Satan, that worship money, that wants to cast God out of everything, these son of a guns know that this is real. But they also know that they are not being deceived. We are the ones that are being deceived, because we want to think that it's something else coming in. And all of a sudden, now the aliens going to decide, okay, well, let's go over to the earth and see how they're doing. Liz, a liar. If the aliens were there, they would have been around. Listen, let me tell you something. The angels that came down, it's a known fact. The sons of God, which were the watchers, saw the daughters of men, how beautiful they were, and they made it with them. And this caused these women to have men of renown, the word of God tells us. In other words, they were big, giant men. And it was plenty of them.
Yes.
And it was plenty of them. Mm-hmm. But guess what? All of these things are going to come back. All of these things are going to happen. Do you actually, you don't have any idea that all the women that are asking to be conceived, to be given a child by Satan, it will astound you just how many women actually think like that. It will literally astound you. And they are doing everything they possibly can. They are doing the sacrifices and everything. All of these women want to be on the power side. And that's why they follow men with power. But they're being deceived and don't realize it. Just because certain things are being revealed to them, they actually think that Satan is good. Satan is not good, my brothers and sisters. He was called, when he was in heaven, he was called the angel of light, the bringer of light. Yes, he was. But when he rebelled against God and decided that he wanted to be God, and got a third of the angels that he thought was the most powerful with him, and they wanted to overthrow God. That's when they were kicked out of heaven. And they became the fallen angels, Sister Kitty. That's where they came from. Not all the angels were fallen, are messengers. Not all of them were messengers. God has messengers. God has watchers. God has warring angels. The word of God tells us that God has ministering angels that wait and listen to hear the word of God so they can act upon it. This is why it's so important that we know the word of God for ourselves and not what our pastor say. They have all these lies going around. And I know you've heard them, Sister Harper. Wait on the Lord and trust in him and be still and know that he is God and what have you and everything. You've heard all that, right?
I've heard it all, and I don't hear much good and much being powerful for what you're doing, much being conscious of what you're doing.
Well, Sister Harper, what they're doing is they're taking something that was set in place for the children of Israel at that time, and they're trying to apply it to them today. The circumstances has changed. The situation has changed because we now have the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus told us, behold, I give you power, and that you will have power over all the works of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you.
Oh, I like
so
that
now,
part.
And so now, you a mess. And so now, we have power over the enemy. So we don't have to sit around and wait on the Lord. And while these pastors are teaching these people, wait on the Lord, relax, God is in control. No, that's not true. God will have the final say, but does this actually look like a God-controlled world? It's a God-controlled world, but the God we're talking about is not the Holy One of Israel. He's not the Most High. There's a God that's in control, but it is not the Most High.
He's the God of this world. So he does own all this stuff, Hollywood, all of that. And people are just being sucked in. And he's harvesting souls every day.
I'm reading in the chat room. So why did people die and was burned at the stakes for saying the earth went around the sun, and one guy got burned for saying it's possible for there to be life on other planets? There's a good reason for that, Sister Kitty, because man is prideful. Man is arrogant, and he don't want anybody to disagree with him. And if a son of a gun got some power, he'll put you to death. Look at what our president just did. Circuit court judge just gave President Obama the right to drone strike Americans and told him he didn't have to answer to anybody before or after. Now this is a judge. Believe me, this is a demonic influenced woman that did this, because a woman that is walking with God would not tell somebody else, oh, it's okay to kill me or my kids, and you ain't got to explain nothing to nobody. This woman is definitely,
bribe.
Huh?
I say 75% of them will probably take a bribe.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about that. Well, I tell you what. Look, guys, give us a call here in the studio. Who is this we got on the line? Hello?
Hello. Hey, this is Uncle Buck.
Uncle Buck, God bless. Uncle Buck is a host here on the Freedomizer Radio Network. Uncle Buck, you're up early.
Well, let me tell you, but I'm out on my farm here in northeastern Washington, and just out my deck here. My farm hands is digging a big water trench in the Canadian Rockies. I'm right up by Idaho and Canada border. And,
okay.
And I just, you know, I love you, and I always want to say, you know, I'm always learning. Would you say you're always learning?
Always.
Okay.
I didn't even have to think about that one. Always.
And so you know that my conversation is never to be mean or belittling, but is to say, hey, I came across this. What do you think? And so, you know, I was
let it rip. Let it rip, Uncle Buck.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I was listening to a guy on Blog Talk Radio. It's got a show on Genesis, GCN, you know, the Alex Jones Network kind of thing.
Okay.
It's called Shattering Myths. And
mm-hmm.
Done a lot of research, and I got to say, so far, the guy is right on from what I can at my current and present knowledge level.
Okay.
I would like to say that. Yeah, and so one of the things you and I both discovered is that we're keeping the Sabbath, you and I. We're doing Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, right?
That's correct. That's the
right
Lord's
on.
Sabbath. Mm-hmm.
That's right, yeah. And so he breaks down languages. He breaks down each word. This his Blog Talk Radio program, he has two of them. The other one's called Yada Ya. And he breaks down each word. He says, at my current knowledge level, I can be wrong, but let's research. So Hosea 4:6, you know, because of lack of knowledge.
Ooh.
So,
ooh.
Yeah,
the
yeah.
My people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes,
that's because we're not seeking the Lord. Because see, God
yes.
knew that God knew that man didn't just start lying.
<You know? laughs> Right, right.
Hey, you know, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it at all, Uncle Buck.
God knew. And so I say this. He broke down, you know, Lord Jesus Christ.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you have to understand, Lord was often the most referred to name for Baal. Baal loved to be called Lord, not Yahovah or Yahweh.
Right.
And I was like, wow. So I was like, whoa. You know, because I've grew up in churchianity, you know. And so I'm broken away.
Churchianity. There we go.
Yeah. And please, this is never to demean anybody. I have a current knowledge level. Hopefully we'll expand. And he says, Christ, the Greek, Christos, the Greeks called all their gods Christ. So, and then the last one was, Lord, you know, of course, Jesus. And you break all that down, it gets into the pagan fertility practices of Isis, or as we would say,
mm-hmm. Ishtar. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I try and tell people, Uncle Buck, you know, even the days of the week, The names of the month, all of those are paganism that the Catholic Church co-signed and put and they added, you know, the Christians that were dying off, they just added them to it to try and make it more Christian-like. But they know all of it are pagan practices.
Yes, and so you know, I get into it. So it's very important. I explain myself, of course, and then I like to use Yeshua HaMashiach, right?
Yeshua HaMashiach,
Yeah, and I like to they use over there in Israel is Messiah or Messiah, as we would say here. And so, why does this matter? Well, I know that things matter as you get a more intimate knowledge base, a closer relationship, and wisdom all together. And what did I say? Oh, so he brings out this phrase. This, see what you think. I'm like, wow. He says, Yeshua said, you know, or it was said that the word became flesh and dwelt for a time amongst us. Well, when Messiah was here, what word was there?
The Old Testament.
Right on. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right, man. There was no Bible. It was Torah.
There was no New Testament. I keep trying to, I love you, Uncle Buck. I keep trying to tell people, I'm like, look, when you know, when all those things that you read, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John saying, when it said the word of God, take on the sword of the Spirit, that's the word of God and all this here, there was no New Testament.
They were talking
about the Old Testament.
So the word was the Tanakh, the Torah, and so he was the semblance of the Torah. And this is all new to me, right? Because I want to be saved. The path to heaven was narrow and few find it. And I want to be on that path. The path of destruction was broad and many go that way.
That's right.
So as I continue to dig and dig and dig, and I'm going, these pastors, oh, but you know, you're keeping this Sabbath, man. That's a block and tackle. That's evil. It's going back to the law. And I'm like, wait a second. If Yahweh said, this shall be a sign forever, the fourth commandment says, remember, keep my Sabbath. Then they say, well, but Paul said that I'm in Christ all of these days. It doesn't matter. And I said, wait a second. Something wrong here. I remember I was
trying to... It's their interpretation, Uncle Buck.
Yeah,
Interpretation. Because believe me when I tell you, the Apostle Paul said nothing different from Christ. There's no way in the world he would contradict Christ, and Christ constantly was interacting with the Apostle Paul, delivering him from jail and all of this here, talking to him and telling him he's going to Rome, telling him, okay, you in the ship on your way to Rome, but everybody that stay in the ship with you, they're going to be spared. And anybody that go out the ship, they're going to lose their life. He's constantly talking with him. Now, why would he overlook saying, hey, you know, you said something I didn't say?
Well, yeah, and that's where I'm at as I trace this incredible spaghetti noodle through all of the spaghetti is, hey, is Paul a true prophet or is churchianity, this Babylonian church we've inherited, taking his stuff way out of context?
That's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, so I'm right there. That's right where I'm at. I'm like going, okay, because... you know, they say, oh, Sabbath doesn't matter. Keep any day you want. All these pastors everywhere. A friend of mine was going to a particular church.
Really?
Yeah. He split all the stuff over. The Pope's law on Sunday, everything. And he said, look, we got to do the Sabbath. And the minister said, I know, but the church is never going to go for it. So he said, well, like,
Excuse me. Let me calm down.
Yeah,
calm down.
I know.
Okay. Now, if you are now, let me slip the shoe on your foot. But
okay, I'll try.
All right. The Lord has called you into His service. Okay.
Okay.
And you have started this ministry. And let's say you started out, Uncle Buck. Let's say you started out with the Sunday, but.
Right. Oh, hello? Oh, crazy. Ooh, can't hear you. That's weird. Wow. Everybody cut out? Well, if you can hear me, until we can get minister back, I have a story on Ahmadinejad. This topic will be resurrected with Jesus. Muslim prophet, Iraq leader Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said that the late Hugo Chavez will rise again. I have no doubt he will come again, along with all the righteous people and the prophet Jesus, and the only successor of the righteous generation, the perfect human. Ahmadinejad said in a statement released in Persian on the president's official website Wednesday, the New York Times reported. The perfect human refers to the hidden imam, who Shiite Muslims believe disappeared in the 9th century, but expect to reemerge. More from the Global Post. Crowds
cue for a glimpse of Chavez in the casket. Ahmadinejad also stood behind Vice President Nicolas Maduro's allegation that Venezuela's enemies were somehow responsible for infecting Chavez with the cancer that killed him, Agent France Press reported. Agency France Press reported. Wednesday was declared a national day of mourning in Iran as well, according to AFP. However, some figures in Iran thought their leader went too far in his condolence message. I don't understand this. Of course, it's all demonic. He thinks that this man is actually coming back with Jesus, and they're looking for their 12th imam, which is, I don't know who he is to them, but he's no one to us. It would have been sufficient to simply send a diplomatic message without getting involved in ideological issues, conservative cleric Ayatollah Sayyid Ahmad Khatami said, according to the Times. The counterpart of the president in another country has passed away, and naturally our president should send a message of condolence, but in my view, it's not appropriate to deal with ideological issues. I'll place the link in the chat room. I believe I had placed it earlier, but probably ahead of time. And I'll... But I'll go back to it. Okay. Well, it won't let me go back to the phone. I found it. I'll get it to y'all. Again, chat room. You all can finish reading this. I don't know what's going on, but maybe things will get better. Here, that's the link. You can get that one from. I have more news, of course. Here we have Miss Hillary Clinton backs the same-sex marriage deal. And... she says that she backs the same things that Obama said, actually. She claims she was guided by faith. What faith? I don't understand. But, you know, what faith? In who? The god of syphilis or the queen of gonorrhea? Is she serious? You know, she had better stop talking to those fallen angels. They are giving her some bad information, for real. Clinton, who was a rival against Obama, said that her personal views have changed concerning gay people, have changed over time. Mm-hmm. And much like Obama, she said she had to speak out for gay people because of her, wait for it, Christian faith. Is she serious? Oh, my gosh. I'm about to pass out. My eyes are bleeding already, okay? She says, I know about the struggle many still have in this country to reconcile the teachings of their religion. Ooh, I guess her Bible is missing Romans, the whole book. She goes on to say, the pool of their consciences and the personal experiences they have in their families and communities. People of goodwill and good faith will continue to view this issue differently. Differently, she's absolutely right. Gosh, I don't need to read the whole article, but it is in, it's just from the Christian Post. I will find that link for you. I'm getting new at this finding the link thing, but I'm getting better at it. I don't know where it would happen to the minister. If I don't find it, it is in Global Post. I mean, I'm sorry, ChristianPost.com. Also, in Christian Post. I can get it to pull up here. I have another story. Mark Burnett said weird things happen during the filming of the Bible. This link I'll stick in the chat room as well. I totally lost the chat room. Great. I'll finish reading the story and I'll get back. Mark Burnett,
producer of the History Channel's The Bible miniseries, which has skyrocketed to record-breaking ratings since its premiere on Sunday, said in a previous interview that weird things happened during filming of the show, and he believes the hand of God was helping to complete the series.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I read a couple of articles.
All right. That's so much. Everything just went out here, so I don't know what happened.
I'm hanging there with you. They told me to keep talking, so that's what I did.
Amen. Let me see. Can I get back to the studio and get hold of Uncle Buck? What he's saying is obvious. This is something that we all should know.
Thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let's get this thing together here. Oh, Father, we thank you for taking out anything that's trying to keep us getting our show together here. Any interruptions, any electronic interruptions, Father, thank you for divine intervention. And let this show go on in Jesus' name. If you're having technical problems, and I'm trying to find the link to get you all about Hillary. It's been taking a minute to load up here. And okay, you two are fighting. Minister, are you there? Okay. All right. We'll go on. Chush. Details from ChristianPost.com under News Next. Americans will curse Obama for Obamacare. Following the sequester debacle, in which Obama and his cohorts were swiftly found to be lying through their teeth, his polling numbers have begun to fall. And folks, you ain't seen nothing yet. As the realities and costs of the Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare, kick in, when he leaves office, he will be remembered for inflicting pain and suffering on Americans. I can say amen to that. My own health care insurance has gone up. But as the various aspects become active, the impact on everyone will reduce their income and increase their costs. In retrospect, it will seem like the largest poison pill any president or political party ever swallowed. Recall that Obamacare was passed December 24, 2009, by a straight Democratic Party vote, none of whom had even read the legislation. I recall hearing Nancy Pelosi say we need to pass this bill before we can understand it. The House passed this bill with a vote of 219 to 212 on March 21, 2010, with 34 Democrats and all 178 Republicans voting against it. At 2,000-plus pages, it has now been joined by thousands of pages more to implement it. It is a regulatory nightmare by design, of course. In January, the author of Priceless, Curing the Health Care Crisis, John C. Goodman, wrote of Obamacare's impact on your tax bill. You will join other Americans in paying more than $19 new types of taxes and fees over the next decade to fund health reform. Some of the new taxes will be indirect and will be passed on to you in the form of higher prices, higher premiums, or lower wages. The article is rather lengthy, so you can go to ChristianPost.com under Newsmax and read the entire article. It names taxes on medical devices, drugs, and savings accounts. I feel like this is totally wrong. When you look at it and see all of the things that aren't listed, it's a crime.
It's crazy today.
I'm going to be reading the articles that I have, so I'm not going to let dead air, catch us.
Uncle Buck.
Yes, sir.
Oh, praise the Lord. You still there. Bless your heart. Okay. Everything went out here, Uncle Buck, and what have you. I'm thankful for Sister Harper that kept things going. And thank you for holding on, my brother. It was important. But now let's see. I was posing a question to you when I got cut off. If you know, you, the Lord has called you into his service, and you started this ministry, and you started out, and you were observing Sunday because that was the tradition, that was the accepted norm. And the Lord revealed to you that, you know, this is not his way, and you can verify it in the Word of God. And then you can go and you can verify through all of the information that is obtainable to you that the Catholic Church admittedly admits that they are the ones that changed the Sabbath. They had this big thing called the quarter decament controversy, where if you didn't follow the Roman Catholic Church, that you were actually put to death. So know, and so now all of this can be verified, and there's no doubt about it. As a man of God, what do you do?
Well, and I say, as I've learned these words, I know your name is Henry, and I keep calling you John. After a while, it's going to be offensive because we're friends. So you're like, hey, stop. I say, you know, as a man of Yahweh, God being the G-A-W-D, a pagan god, I would say that I have to, because the path of heaven was narrow. I want those blessings, and I understand there are terms and conditions, right?
Well, amen, amen, amen.
Right. So those terms and conditions,
see,
that I gotta go this way, man.
you regardless of what anybody else say, you know, because your ministry might be just for one person.
That's
the
right.
Lord might have you in place just for one person. And you need to be there for that one person. Don't that one person, if they die in their iniquity, God said, his blood I'll require at your hands.
That's right. That's right. The fact that the farm hand I have working for me right now, he has come to Yahovah. He has said, whoa, he's starting to check out. Like I sent him to Michael Rood, ROOD.com. You know, it teaches out of Israel. And he starts, wow, we're learning the feast. We're doing Pesach or Passover here coming up. And we're studying. And I'm like, hey, this is all new to me, too. But I'm going to tell you, I've received so many blessings by following this way, property-wise, financially, my own sound mind, you know.
Blessing. Hmm? That's the blessing, the sound mind right there. That's the blessing. When you can go to sleep at night, and you'll, as the Word of God says, your sleep be sweet.
That's right.
Then you wake up the next morning, clothed in your right mind, with the activities of your limbs. If you are putting God first, things aren't going to be that bad. Now, don't get me wrong. You might not turn into no millionaire, nothing like that, you know. But things aren't going to, you know what, things aren't going to be that bad. And the things that are bad really ain't going to matter that much to you, because you got God. Because got Yahweh. Because you have, back again to what you said, that peace of mind.
That's right. That's right. Little old lady, I was out trucking. You know, I have a trucking company as well. And she handed me a book called The Prayer of Jabez. And it was a simple prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been praying that little simple prayer as well. And so there was terms and conditions according to that Yada Yah or the Shattering Myths program on GCN. And I just encourage you, if you would, my friend, check it out, see what you think about it, and come. Well, I'll get back on the phone and we'll talk, you know, about where this scribe studier is going. And maybe we could help, like, enhance people's understanding of knowledge, right?
Well, hey, man, well, you know, that's the thing. You know, I'm doing a series on the ministry's website, and it's a audio commentary on the true origin of Easter. And I encourage you to check it out.
Oh, yes, I'm familiar with Ishtar. Absolutely, yes.
All of that is paganism. None of that. Oh. They were doing that before Christ came. That's the thing.
That's right.
See, that's the thing that people don't get. Now, wait a minute. Now, how can this have anything to do with Christ when they were following this ritual before Christ came?
Right. Right.
You know, it seemed like that would send up a red flag, you know. Now, the children of Israel were actually doing they were actually going through the shadow of what Christ was going to go through when they sacrificed the sacrificial lamb during Passover and what have you. And see, the enemy always copies God. And Nimrod, who married his mama, claimed that he was the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the picture that you see in the Catholic Church. And what, that's not Mary and Jesus. That's Ishtar and Nimrod.
That's right. Well, that's what Michael Rood says from Israel. They've got a big statue there. And he said all the Jews that live there laugh because the Catholics are calling it Mary and Jesus. And he says that's Isis and her baby there. And,
exactly.
It's been there for centuries, you know, and they just laugh because the Romans came in and changed it to their god. So, And so, before I forget, let me ask you, what do you think about Obama going to the old city of Jerusalem just as in the days, I think it's 2,000 years today that, you know, Messiah was there, going into the city? What do you think about that? You think that's coincidence?
No. You think he waited so long to do it? He's been in office over 4 years. You think he waited all time before he went? Because this man is a follower of Allah.
The man of peace, he gets the Nobel Peace Prize right off the bat. So I'm sitting there going, whoa. I mean, and then the Catholic Church buying that piece of, I think it's the Temple Mount, so that the Pope has a current place to sit of legal ownership.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
and
it's a Jesuit who is never supposed to hold a hierarchy in the Catholicism. So this is getting heavy duty, folks.
Everything that the Word of God has said comes to pass, but you have to know the Word of God for it to even make sense to you. You don't believe it. You know, it's a mystery to you. To us that are you all have no idea how close the time is. You know, you need to get right with God because time is running out because we see it. And, you know, and it's astounding. And, you know, and Jesus warned us, said, look, do not let it overtax your heart because there's going to be people that these things come and being fulfilled, just like he said, overcharge their heart. Because they will see, oh my goodness, and the world around them, you know, and they're like, my favorite parable is they're like Caleb in the land of Israel.
That's right.
Everybody else around was falling, you know, going off and whatnot, and Caleb was like, no, I'm trusting him. Lord, I'm trusting. I won't hear what y'all got to say. And the Lord singled out Caleb, told Joshua, said, as I live, none of these that came out of Egypt shall inherit the land that I promised to their father. Said, but my servant Caleb, who had a different spirit in him, he shall inherit the land. And everybody else was a kid when they came out of Egypt.
And you know, to add upon that, Moshe or Moses he had to go down into Abraham's bosom, so when Messiah came to lead that generation out, because his promised land was not the geographical land on the earth, but it was to lead those souls that were from Egypt out of Abraham's bosom when Messiah, you know, went down into the depths. I just read that.
Oh no! Jesus, the Messiah went down there to be beat by Satan and the demons.
Right. So they said
No. That's the lie that these preachers are telling now.
Well, so you don't think that Moses was down? Didn't get to go?
You know what? The Bible really doesn't say what happened to Moses.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
And so we would actually be assuming, but I'm talking about the lie that they have conjured up, that they're preaching Joyce Meyer and Creflo Dollar and T.D. Jakes and Joel Osteen, all of them preaching that Jesus down to hell to be beat by Satan. Jesus went down and took the keys to the kingdom of Satan.
That's right. Benny Hinn, you know, first time I ever turned that guy
on. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
I about jumped
Lord.
Out of my chair, man. The Spirit testified to me. Oh, that guy, oh, man. And you know what? These missionaries are going all over the world. Congratulations. There needs to be missionaries here in Babylon. Our people are so tough.
But that should tell you something. Uncle Buck, let me take the commercial break. I have not taken a commercial break. Hang out with us, would you please?
Okay. Yes, of course.
You are listening to the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program, and we'll be right back after these commercial announcements.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog, only on Freedomizer Radio.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESP Botanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade the Motion Picture. A view into the globalist domain. Annabella Semperma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have to let them know that the world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state, but instead, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up, speak out.
Shade the Motion Picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
Oh. Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
We are Critical Immunity with Larry and Renee. Our show will cover current events, national health news, nutrition, emergency preparedness, and organic farming, and various implements and tools to thrive and survive. We hope you tune in and join in our discussion of health, liberty, preparedness, and survival. Join our hosts, Larry and Renee, with guest callers always.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Praise the Lord, and we're back. All right. Sister Harper, very interesting show we have going, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yes, it is. I'm enjoying it.
Amen, amen. You know, it's really amazing. I don't know what's going on in the chat room. They seem to be having a bit of a I don't know a tiff in there. Yeah. Very exciting in the chat room, my brothers and sisters. Let me tell you guys, if you really want to ask a question that you really want an honest answer to, call in. Our number is 347-324-3704, and I'll let you ask the question, then I'll mute you and answer it, and then I'll unmute you and let you respond. So, that way, we won't have any problems. Once again, the number here for anyone who would like to call in is 347-324-3704. Once again, 347-324-3704. All right. We welcome all calls. All right. So, all right, Sister Harper. I got to just enjoy something. let's do this, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When I know he watches over me. His eye is on the stair, and I know he watches
Amen. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know that he watches over me. Praise the Lord, for even the very hairs on our head are numbered. Amen?
Amen.
All right. So, okay, Sister Harper, ask a question. Go ahead. Whatever's on your heart, honey.
Ask a question?
Yeah.
Well, why are people so distracted by everything, things in this world? And then when they have problems, they're wondering why.
Ooh. You know, it's just like 9/11, Sister Harper. 9/10, everything was business as usual, and we don't want to hear about God and this. And then the administration kills over 5,000 people. Now we want to pray.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, that because it's a demonic design, and people seem to fall into this trap very easily. And the best way to do it is to build people up, and their very own flesh, their pride will take over. And then all you have to do is let them become complacent. And they're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to change anything. They're not, because they don't want anything to change. They're happy, especially when things are going, you know, their way. They can do what they want.
They're going their way, really.
And they are
going our way.
They are deceived.
Yeah,
they
I
are
have
deceived
been,
because
I'm ostracized for. Rocking the
boat. For asking
questions that the pastor couldn't answer. That was rocking the boat?
Huh. Okay. Yeah. All right, let us go to the phone lines. And we have a caller here. Tom, God bless you. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, but I ask a lot.
Go ahead.
Okay. I ask a lot of simple questions that don't have easy answers. I see things a little differently, and people love attacking me because I see things differently. In simple terms, I look at religion, and I see the Roman Catholic Church. Wait a minute, Roman, you know, the same people who hung Jesus on the cross. Excuse me on that one, no offense, Mink. you know,
that's abbreviation for Minister Kenneth, but that's fine. It doesn't bother me at all. But okay. Anyway, so ask your question. Go ahead.
Okay, I look at the Ark. It's about 2/3 of the size of the Titanic. Okay, give or take. And I'm wondering how you get 2 of each animal on it, and food for all of those animals for 40 days.
Probably just like you are wondering, how did Christ take 2 fishes and 5 loaves of bread and feed 5,000?
You know, I mean, I look at that and I think of, you know, some advanced technology, but, you know.
No, it's not technology. It is the miracle of our Creator, same one that spoke the world we live in into existence. See, we can't apply carnal or worldly thinking to spiritual matters. The two just don't mix. They just don't make sense to one another.
I agree with you on that. I mean, there's a lot of, should I say, crap that goes on. And bottom line is, you know, I look at things a little differently, and I want to, you know, I want to fight the system as much as the next guy. You know, I'm not a fan of the banking system. I'm not a fan of the fake two-party system that we have. I'm not a fan of any of that. I see things a little, you know, differently, you know, when it comes to religion.
Well, let me tell you, you should question. You should, you know. But now, when the response comes, you got to have an open mind. And when you start talking about spiritual matters, as far as like, how in the world did you get every animal, you know, into this ark and what have you? And this ark, you know, by my calculations, really isn't that big and really should be able to hold all these animals. And yet, they found it. And they found it. You know? So now, that's the thing. It did because whoever thought that all this that we see could be created by speaking.
Right. Now,
and yet, here we are. Now you can believe that it was a Big Bang Theory and all of a sudden out of nothing came something.
Okay,
you can believe
that. I respect people's right to view things differently. You know, if I ask a question and you don't have the answer,
say you don't have the answer.
Right, yeah. Now, you know,
simple
instead,
as that.
Right. You know, I look at things differently, as you know. And when I look at the ARC, I think of DNA. It has the blueprints of not only that animal, but several generations of its parents, its grandparents, its great-great-great-grandparents way back.
Uh-huh.
Now, the run crust, and that's how I end up, overcoming the hurdle of animal incest. They were clones. Now, that is my thinking.
Why would you dismiss animal incest?
It just leads to bad things, and
But it happened in
nature. It does happen in nature. And
exactly. I mean, it was the strangest thing. I had a cat. The cat got out the house, and she became pregnant. Cat had some babies. Come in one day, and the baby was humping the hell out of its mama.
Okay, yeah.
You can't tell me it don't happen. It happens.
It happens.
You know, animals. And this is, wait. And this is where man is separated from animals because he doesn't have to do these things. You know, now when God was starting the world and these things were permitted, it had to be a supernatural occurrence for these the DNA, as you're saying, to not clash, not to be a problem. Because I remember when the first time that I got married, I had to take a blood test. Because you had to know if you were compatible with the woman that you were marrying. They don't do that anymore. They don't care. Because they know that these things will happen, but they want these things to happen. See, people don't understand that these evil people that are in power, that are satanically and demonically influenced, they want to bring about all these avaricians and you know, these occurrences where people, you know, I mean, can you imagine, you know, in today, Nimrod and his mom, she had him and then she turned around and married him and they're having intercourse. I mean, can you imagine what that child that they would produce would be like?
Right, that would not be good. And you know,
but it's happening.
And it is. And I know.
I would,
know.
I
I know a brother and sister that did that. And believe me, first of all, I got to be honest, and I'm really not trying to put them down, but I got to tell you, first of all, they were not wrapped tight themselves. So now this child being around these two people that are brother and sister that had him, and because they had a boy, and being around these two people that aren't, their elevator isn't going to the top, is already affected. Then there's the internal thing mentally that's going on with this child, and then there's all of the outside things from everybody that knows what's going on that is now being planted into this child's spirit and whatnot and everything. So this child has a war going on within himself. So now imagine when he gets older and have a child, what that child's going to be like.
Right. I mean, DNA does not, after a certain point, it stops fixing itself and gets worse. I mean,
exactly.
After 20 generations of 9 inbreeding, maybe it will start fixing itself. But it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So see, we understand that a lot of things concerning our creator, Hydro, is we have to take upon faith. And a lot, you know, can be actually proved, and especially what we're seeing happen with the New World Order and the coming of the one world government and the one world religion that Christ told us about so long ago, you know. And it's really amazing, you know, to someone that, you know, wait, how could they have known? When you start reading the book of Revelation and you start seeing here what John was trying to describe, these things that were flying around and had a tail like a scorpion and what have you, this was a helicopter.
Right.
And this was the best way he could describe it.
I mean, I have no doubt, you know, that there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of truth in the Bible. I mean, Nostradamus, I mean, he described things fairly accurate, too, in his own way.
In his own way, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to knock Jesus. His ethics, I have to say, were top-notch. I think he was a great teacher, one of many. You know, I think the knowledge that he had made him revered, and then to stop that knowledge, the system killed him and his son, you know. So, hence his begotten son.
Him and, you know, what?
His begotten son, meaning his, you know, I basically look at that as a little different, but...
Wait. So you're talking about the creator and his son that they killed, right?
Right. I'm saying that...
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. I look at that interpretation a little different. In other words, Jesus, with all of the knowledge that he had, okay, as a great teacher, you know, made him comparable but not one and the same as the creator. And then when they killed him...
No, and he was the first one. And you know what, Hydro? And you know what? He was the first one to tell us. He told us himself. Said, look, the Father is greater than I, but the Father and I are one. The Father is in me, and I'm in the Father. That would be the same thing if Kenny Jr. told you, oh, well, me and my dad are one.
Right, okay.
Because Kenny is in me, and I'm in him, you know? And it should be easy concept for people to get, because there's no way in the world. If you know me and you see my son, you'd be saying, yeah, that's your son.
Okay.
You know? And it's not so much as looks. It's
an acting,
you know,
character.
Exactly.
You know, I mean,
so,
yeah. I mean, another thing I view as being different You know, I look at the history of it all, you know, and I try to find the area where the New World Order, the corrupt government, took power. And I can't find it. You know, I find it as being one in...
You can't.
Okay, I mean,
Well, let me bless you. All you have to do is go back to the in the New Testament, and you will see that the Romans were over the Sanhedrin Council, and everything that the Sanhedrin Council came up with had to be approved by Rome, even in Christ's time.
Okay. Now,
and because they couldn't, you know, it was against their religion, the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they couldn't kill nobody, but they brought Christ up on charges, but they couldn't do it. They had to bring it to Rome. Everything had to be co-signed by Rome. So in doing this, they literally gave the power
okay,
to Rome.
If I may ask, then the one problem I have with that, okay, is that the Catholic Church basically seems to stem out of Rome.
It is. It's the Roman Catholic Church.
Yeah. Now, when I look at that, right, and I look at all other, you know, Christian religions. I mean, Christians are typically good, honest people. I mean, they treat each other in a fairly good fashion. You know, don't question their belief. Some of them might attack you, but
now, see, that's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that.
I look at it differently. I don't, you know, I don't bash, you know, them for being who they are. I do not agree with their perspective on it all. And, you know,
What? I don't either. I don't agree with the Roman Catholic Church. I don't agree with the Pentecostal Church. I don't agree with the Protestant Church. I don't agree with the Baptist Church. I had to literally come out from among them, Hydro, because they were not following God. And if you read the Word of God, we are commanded to come out from among them and be ye separate, because that big entity has always tried to squash the little entity because they want it their way. And they feel like they have the authority, and we can change the Sabbath, and we can change the Passover and what have you and everything. And they feel that they have that authority. And
right,
they admit it.
I have to say, you know, I commend you for, you know, thinking outside the box and saying, you know what? The whole system's wrong. I got to look at this differently.
I've got to follow the Word of God. I've got to follow that. I cannot go by the traditions of men. I cannot take that chance with my soul. I just can't.
I mean, when I look at every single church that's out there, you know, I find that they're all stemming from the Catholic Church.
Basically, because at one point the Baptist Church had walked away from Catholicism and the Catholic Church, but because of the titles that they wanted to have and what have you, they have re-embraced the Catholic Church and what have you. So now you'll see Baptists being called Archbishop, Chief Apostles, Cardinal, and what have you now. None of that is in the Word of God. I can't follow those people.
Thank you.
Where did you're making up stuff now. You're telling me that this is of God, but it's not in His Word. I'm sorry, I can't follow you.
Minister.
Huh?
The Pope, this new Pope,
he said something surprising. He told all the cardinals that they need to follow the gospel of Jesus Christ. My husband said he almost fell out when he heard it.
You. Well, brothers and sisters, we got to get out of here. The next show is coming up. Thank you, Hydro, for calling in. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Sister Hopper, for joining me today. And if the Lord's will, we'll be back on Friday on the True Frequency Radio Network. We love you. God bless each and every one of you. Peace to your homes. Bye.
Hey guys, Proof here. Guess what? I just got a cell phone. Hey, for everyone that knows me, I'm not a fan of cell phones, but I just signed up with a company called Solovay. And Solovay is offering a plan right now with unlimited phone, text, and web for only $49 a month. Plus, if you refer a friend or two, you get a discounted rate for everyone you refer. For as long as they have Solovay, not just for the first month, but for the whole time that person has Solovay. You sign up enough people, and Solovay pays you every month. What other cell phone company is going to pay you for service? Anyway, go to Solovay.com/freedomizer. That's Solovay, Solabei.com/freedomizer. Learn all about it. Plus, and another kicker, if you sign up three people under you, you'll get another month for free as well. Plus, they're going to pay you cash. Anyway, Solovay.com/freedomizer.
We are so pleased to announce ESP Botanicals is now sponsoring Freedomizer Radio. They have a bath and body line of products made for keeping your skin beautiful and healthy, but it's also for psoriasis, eczema, rosacea, and dermatitis treatment. They are meticulously prepared skincare products made from the best botanicals available. Committed to buying only from the growers when they can and using the highest quality cold-pressed oils, botanical organic additives, the best steam-expressed essential oils, and the least processed carrier oils that are available in today's marketplace. Pamper yourself or someone special in your life. Give the gift of beautiful, glowing skin. ESPBotanicals.com. Thank you so much for supporting us at Freedomizer Radio.
We know about the Gulf oil spill. We know about problems with voting. We know about environmental toxicity. We know that there are problems about the wars, that our government is not representing the people as we would wish them to represent us. But we also know that there are crystal clear solutions. I'm Patricia Springstead, and I'm heavily involved in making the world a better place.
Every day you try to brainwash people just to have things go your way.
Trisha Springstead on Freedomizer Radio. Crystal clear solutions.
Well, tell me what you're gonna do when you're well and dry.
Oh, you want to heal the world? Oh, you can't do that. You know, you gotta elect the right people. No, change your thinking. Change the way you feel. Change the way you do things. Do everything for peace. Like John Lennon said, walk for peace. You take a shower for peace. Do whatever you do for peace.
Every time you do that, you set a ripple effect out.
Because we live in a vibrational world, and your brain is the instrument. To learn how to direct and control your mind, you guys are superheroes. You know, they don't want you to know that, but you are. You guys are the most powerful people in the world.
We see the power in you to change your thinking. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Hi, Libby.
Well, hello, Mary Lou, and welcome everybody to Gas and Rising. This is Libby Gasson, and we have a guest tonight. Mary Lou, can you tell the audience please about our guest?
Yes, we actually have two guests today. We have Bryce Shanka and Zach Carter. In 2007, Bryce Shanka found out what a difference a single person can make when he coordinated a campaign that inspired Ron Paul groups around the country to handwrite hundreds of thousands of letters to Iowa caucus voters. In 2009, he was brought in to develop the 10th Amendment Center, where he served for 3 years as deputy director. Now he is living in Seattle and focused on building a new model for communities. His vision is a city where Seattleites live better, freer, and decoupled from centralized power. His brand new website, SeattleActivist.org, is the first piece of this new project, a place to bring local activists together. And Zach Carter is a veteran of Kosovo and Iraq. He woke up to what is going on in the world after being accosted by the TSA while in uniform, realizing that soldiers on our border had their hands tied while soldiers overseas could fully defend foreign nations' borders, and watching a Ron Paul video and being forever changed. And I was joking with Zach that he's so modest because he left a lot of things off of his bio. I first became aware of him when I saw the video that he made in his Army uniform supporting Ron Paul. And he also worked with our friend Christina Tobin, a Free and Equal, who's been on our show. And he was also media coordinator for Veterans for Ron Paul. He was quoted in a Mother Jones magazine as media liaison for Paul Festival. He worked on some congressional campaigns, and he promoted the Rock the Revolution tour on the Alex Jones show. And I think you're on Ernie Hancock's show and all sorts of things. So thanks so much for coming on, y'all. It's great to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, sure. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, very impressed. I want to talk about, first of all, your take on our American foreign policy. What do you think about that?
That's exactly what woke me up. Besides
yeah,
the,
okay.
You know, the TSA.
I felt that, as Mary Lou told us to buy her.
Yeah, that Ron Paul video and all those questions I had in the back of my mind that I didn't want to look at, what Ron Paul was talking about, exactly. I'm a complete non-intervention. And Bryce?
Excellent.
Well, I also, you know, kind of abhor our current foreign policy. I think anybody who respects life is going to do that if they really look at what's going on, you know, both with the military adventurism as well as with the neoliberal things like the IMF and the World Bank and efforts to kind of suppress South American countries economically. I think that's, you know, horrible as well. And, you know, I think that my instinct is to go local with a lot of different things. And I think that that also can apply to foreign policy. You know, they're not able to do a lot of this stuff without the help of state national guards. And if we can, you know, kind of restore that balance again and make sure that our state people are really reserved for, you know, imminent threats rather than just whatever Washington decides they want to do that month. I think that would be a good thing.
So are both of you in soldiers in the Iraq war or invasion? It's not really a war, it's an invasion.
I have never served in the military, but I've been following it all my life. I grew up in a household where my dad worked for a defense contractor, so I've been surrounded by you know, talk of the military and images, and it's been a part of my life, even though I didn't serve.
Okay. So what was your role then in the Iraq invasion?
10 years ago today, I guess about midnight Iraqi time. We crossed the berm from Kuwait. My battalion was the first to the airport in Baghdad. And I wish I could be with the guys today. We'd probably celebrate with some country captain chicken MRE, which was just god-awful.
Mm-hmm.
and, it was an experience that, looking back on, I'm glad I went through it, because I'm not sure I'd be here where I am today if I hadn't gone through everything I've been through.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell me what you've been through. Tell me, give us an idea of what it's like to have been in your shoes and have gone through what you went through.
Yeah, well, I was in an infantry unit, and I was dismount infantry and riding in the back of a Bradley, a tin can with five other guys crammed in the back, and mm-hmm. our engagements were few and far between, so just oppressively hot in our shorts.
What was it like, 120 degrees or something? Yeah,
exactly.
I see the soldiers in all that and all that camouflage and all that backpack and all those uniforms in this incredibly hot desert, and I wonder how they feel, because it's it looks incredibly uncomfortable, and so give us an inside view about that.
Yeah, it was miserable to the point of driving us crazy. And there weren't bathroom breaks, so you're going to the bathroom in bottles and hoping that what you're picking up is a water bottle and not somebody who started a bathroom bottle. But the camaraderie that I shared with those five guys, and there was a driver and a Bradley commander and a gunner, but they didn't quite share what we shared in the back of that thing. The camaraderie I have with those guys, there's nothing like it. They're my, they're my brother.
Wow.
Sure. Are they still now that you've been there and you're out of it? Are you out of the Army? Are you discharged and all that?
I got kicked out for making that video in late 2007.
Wow, good for you.
And again, I would do that all over again as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay, well, tell us about the video you made.
Yeah, I had watched that video that Dr. Paul made. My wife actually showed it to me, and somebody from her, from one of her groups in Tallahassee, Florida, had made everybody in the group mad by sending something political, and she said, "You got to watch this." And I was literally crying at the end of the video, I had to get out what I was feeling and thinking, and so I wrote up I didn't think of it as a speech at the time. I just wrote out what I was thinking. And I put it on I found the Daily Poll and I put it there, and a few people read it. And somebody said, you really should put this to a video.
Excellent.
And the original copy, 80,000 people watched it in a weekend. And when I looked at Sunday and saw it, 80,000 people had watched it, and I got a message from the Ron Paul campaign, and it was like, oh, my goodness, what have I done? and the next morning, I got a phone call from my company commander that Monday morning, and then before noon, I got a call from the Pentagon. Junior NCOs don't usually get phone calls from the Pentagon. It wasn't a pleasant
really?
Call.
Uh-oh. Yeah, what'd they say?
That I really wanted to watch what I was doing from here on out, and that I was under investigation.
No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're not in prison or anything like that. Do they threaten you with anything?
Yeah, I was looking at possible federal prison sentence. And
really?
Yeah, oh, I violated uniform. I knew it making the video that doing it in uniform that I was violating the Uniform Code of Military Justice, and there's a federal law that pretty much says the same thing. But yeah.
Mhm. Tell us about how we can find the video. Give us the link and the YouTube.
Yes, if you just go on YouTube and search Soldiers Revolution Ron Paul, those four keywords, there's a few copies there that will come up. Yeah. The original was pulled.
Oh, really? Wow.
But thankfully people made copies, yeah.
Wow.
Excellent. Oh, as we talk a lot about how the Internet has helped us all so much and how we can avoid being squashed by the powers that be that suppress videos like yours. And so... other people copied it and managed to get it out anyway, despite the fact that it was suppressed. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah. They can't stop us anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So we have to go to Soldiers Ron Paul Revolution. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. And you can also search for Zach Carter on YouTube, and I think it'll come up that way too.
Zach Carter, okay.
Or you can Google Zach Carter, and there'll be some articles here and there, and you can find the video that way too.
Excellent, yeah. Because part of the reason about the show is to promote people like yourself who give out the word that what's really going on. And so we don't want to, we want to have our audience search you on YouTube and on Facebook as well. Do you have a Facebook site as well, Zach?
Yeah, I do the Facebook thing to network Zach, Z-A-K, Carter, Zach Cruz
mm-hmm.
Carter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And Bryce is on there, too. Yeah. And
mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about our next project. Between the two of us, we've learned so much with our activism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds
really
great.
So what are you doing now, Bryce and Zach? Tell us about your political stance now. What are you doing? How are you involved? And where are you now? Are you libertarians? Are you Republicans? What is your political involvement right now? Or do you have any?
Yeah, I'll let Bryce take the lead on this one.
Yeah, I'm a Seattleite.
Mm-hmm.
I am I'm a member of the Fremont Republic, as we like to call it in my neighborhood. I'm really kind of over, categorization on that level, and I think that if we do what we need to do to really get to the next level, which is act as communities and come together locally, then a lot of the problems of the two-party system start to fall away, because then you are dealing with people that you see face-to-face. You're dealing with politicians that you can actually, go up to and question and give them the sniff test, metaphorically speaking. And, I just think that it's a problem that we've gotten into this rut where people see the word Republican and they turn away.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas in Seattle here, there are efforts underway, being led by Republican state representatives, like in this case, Matt Shea, to introduce agricultural hemp, which would be huge for the people on the east side and the agricultural community. In terms of bringing an economic boom. And, the people in Seattle don't even know who this guy is. They don't even know who Matt Shea is because he's a Republican, even though they would completely and utterly agree with what he's doing. So
mm-hmm.
that's part of what I'm trying
and this
to do.
And this is a big problem,
down.
Yeah. Tell us about him, what we find is that people do have a knee-jerk reaction. Oh, he's Republican, forget about it. Or he's Libertarian, it's not my thing, those weirdo Ron Paul people. So tell us about what you, talk about this candidate that you've found is interesting.
Well, he's Matt Shea. He's already in office right now, and he's got a number of things happening in Olympia. He's got industrial hemp. He's also been active against the NDAA as well as the use of drones in Washington State. And
mm-hmm.
he's got something called the
the Freedom Agenda that he's started out to kind of bring together statewide efforts that are liberty oriented. You know, it's a good thing. But we need more people like him, and we need more people across the board to recognize those efforts. I think that's a huge step mm-hmm. we must take, is just, again, just doing away with the Republican label. You know, maybe there's some issues that mm-hmm. I don't even agree with Matt on, but as far as the NDAA, as far as drones, as far as, you know, bringing in hemp, I can't imagine too many people in Washington that wouldn't agree with those things. And I think that's the discussion we need mm-hmm. to be having, rather than conservative mm-hmm. versus liberal.
No, I agree. I'm not into the paradigm. I'm into all the people that can concur with the idea of liberty and freedom. And so I find it amazing that a plan can be outlawed, and especially something as beneficial as hemp. And so tell us more about the hemp movement.
Well, we of course now are leaders in the Republic in terms of cannabis, because we mm-hmm. voted overwhelmingly to legalize cannabis recreationally, which kind of just opens the doors for all of it. I've heard some people say that there doesn't really need to be anything else for hemp to be utilized according to the new state laws. But I imagine some more reassurance is probably good, at least in the minds of the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it's something that he's kind of had, that he's been working on for a little while now. And in the wake of this recent vote with I-502, it's just the way it's been cleared for it. So I'm hoping that it will really take off, and
mm-hmm.
and we'll start to see that economy move into Washington State, because it will mean a lot of revenue and jobs. I mean, the possibilities are just unbelievable.
That sounds great.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what would you like to see happen? I mean, first of all, what states are you all calling from? What states in the United States?
Washington State.
Seattle, Washington, both of you are in Washington?
Yep, we're dug in. And in fact, our partnership didn't really take off. Zach and I have been talking for, about a year and a half now, something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. He's been in other places, and it's finally back here in Seattle. So, yeah, I really wasn't interested in doing another project with people strong across the country. I have a lot of amazing friends through my experience at the 10th Amendment Center, but, you know, I really wanted to get my hands dirty and have it be face-to-face meetings, have it be community outreach, and, you know, really bring this thing to life instead of just being, you know, a movement on the Internet or a movement of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time to really dig in. So Zach being here is critical, and it's great
mm-hmm.
to be able to finally get in the trenches together.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
I've already got TV coverage for our event in June.
Wow.
My wife doesn't even know that. But a lot of the lessons that Bryce and I have learned and the contacts we've made, just the contacts that I made via the third party debate that I helped with Christina Tobin on last year, Free and Equal Elections Foundation, just a huge help in having successful events that can be low key and cheap to put on, but still reach a tremendous amount of people.
Yeah,
that's fantastic. And what's the atmosphere like in Washington? Are you finding a lot of support?
I consider myself a blue Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are familiar with Robin Perner.
Mm-hmm.
He's a friend of ours. He writes for the Huffington Post, and he founded the Blue Republican movement of former Democrats and Independents.
Mm-hmm.
Crossed over and supported Ron Paul. And even though I had been neocon in the Army, I still come from a very progressive family. I remember
caucusing for Jesse Jackson when,
oh, wow.
when I was a teenager, and I had been arrested with Earth First, the radical environmental group. So I have a very progressive background, even though I got suckered in on the foreign policy of the need for us to be over, spreading democracy. But, being in the army on 9/11 it was traumatic for me.
Where exactly were you on 9/11?
I was at Fort Stewart, Georgia. I was in Kosovo just 2 weeks after.
Wow.
We thought we were forward deployed for, going to Afghanistan, but it didn't happen.
What was your take on 9/11? Well, how did you feel about what happened? Did you buy the government conspiracy theory, or did you feel that it was false, or how did you feel? What was your gut reaction? Tell us about that.
I completely believed what the government was telling me, what the media was telling us.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Hook, line, and sinker.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And since then, you've traveled the road, I guess, something that changed your whole mentality and your whole take on what's happening. Tell us how you got there.
It goes back to that Ron Paul video that I watched in 2007. And if I hadn't had the two experiences previous to that, the being accosted by the TSA while I was in my dress uniform coming home from, I was flying from Savannah back to Seattle to see my family up here. And that was the first one. I was like, we're fighting for our freedoms, and I come home to less. How does that work again?
Yeah.
It was just the first step. I definitely wasn't awake. And then the second one, the borders. I learned that because I wasn't active duty anymore. I was in the reserves. I was in a drill sergeant unit, and I had looked into getting transferred to a National Guard unit on the border with Mexico for a summer. And to get transferred, you have to do paperwork, and to do the paperwork, you have to talk to people. And so I'm talking to this unit that's down on the border, and they're just like, yeah, you don't want to come down here. We have no ammunition. We can't apprehend people. All we can do is, call up the border patrol. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I was in Kosovo, and one-third, literally, of our job was border patrol, and I had the ammunition, and we apprehended people on a pretty regular basis. What the heck?
Yeah.
That was really the big one for me. And so I was ready to hear, Ron Paul's message. And I'm not sure, if I hadn't had those experiences and just heard Ron Paul, I honestly can't tell you that I'd be, where I am today and awake. Who knows? I'm thankful for the journey that I've been on, and wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
Libby, you want to take a break
now? Okay, thanks, Lou. We'll take a break. We're going to have a commercial break. This is Libby Gadsden, and we're on Gadsden Rising, and we're going to take a little commercial break. So hang in there, guys. We'll be right back. We're going to talk more about soldiers in the Iraq invasion and 9/11 and the Ron Paul Revolution. And this is Libby Gadsden. We're with Mary Lou Van Houten, our co-host and producer. And we're with two soldiers who have been there and done that. And we want to hear more about your experience in the inside track, something that a lot of Americans, I think, need to know, especially our audience. And we'll be right back.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
a white plane, a very big jet, was flying in an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news? All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
How do you wake up in the morning? Do you jump out of bed with a smile? Or do you hit the snooze button over and over again? Tune in each Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time to Wake Up and Live. I'm your host, Christine Siegel. On my show, you will learn valuable health and wellness tips that will boost your energy levels. Are you eating a sad diet? Learn how to find quality, nutrient-dense foods. Life is what you make of it. Only you can change your life. You are that important. Join me, Christine Siegel, on Wake Up and Live here on Freedomizer Radio.
Hello, campers. This is your Uncle Scott here, asking you to join me every Friday night at 9 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. You know, my friends, we're inundated daily with information from all the various sources. Media outlets, commercial businesses, government agencies, schools, universities, and then our friends and family, who also get that information from the same sources. Well, that information is what influences our decisions every day, what we want to eat, where we want to live, where our kids go to school, what kind of medical help we'll seek, what kind of entertainment we are interested in. I'm thinking, if you don't have all the right information, how sound are those decisions? I want to bring you all the information so that you can make good, clear decisions about your life and how you want to live. With all the right information in your hand, you have the real power to choose.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
You're listening to Freedomizer Radio at freedomizerradio.com. Join us in the chat room. You can also listen and participate by calling 347-324-3704. Like Freedomizer Radio on Facebook and follow Libby Gadsden on Facebook. We're back. This is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Gadsden Rising. Libby Gadsden will be joining us again shortly, and we're talking with Zach Carter and Bryce Shanka. And so what were we talking about before the break? Just kind of about 9/11 and, you know, and your different military experience, Zach. And anyway, so you told us where you were and how you came to your beliefs, and do you keep in touch with your military, the guys that you served with?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, I guess it's not too surprising, but most of them are where I'm at now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And some of them think I'm absolutely out of my mind nuts.
Really?
But that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It wouldn't be interesting if there weren't crazy people in it.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad that some of them, you know, are awake now and everything.
Yeah. And, you know, this project that I'm working on with Bryce, you know, looking for real world solutions to limit the military industrial complex at the state level.
Yeah. Y'all tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, Bryce.
Well, what we're really hoping to achieve is to hit a home run on our first at bat. We're going to do an event on June 8th. And actually, just before we came on the air, Zach and I were discussing a name change, and we're looking at calling it Resist Fest. And it would be an annual event to bring together ideas that break down the power structure. Leave it very open-ended. Each year we would kind of highlight a problem and bring together the top minds on that issue, or at least whoever we can convince to fly to Seattle. And and then just highlight ways in which we can act as a community to kick those out. You know, recently here in Seattle, we made such a stink about the drones that Homeland Security had just kind of dropped into Seattle without getting any feedback from the people here. We actually turned those away. Public opinion was so strong that the mayor actually reversed the decision and they sent the drones back.
Wow.
That's an example of the kind of action that we can take as communities that, you know, as one city is just a drop in the bucket, of course, but if this idea spreads, then they're going to have a real problem putting the 30,000 drones into U.S. skies that they already have funding for via the NDAA.
Oh, that's insane, these drones. But yeah, I'm all about the local level, too, and I think noncompliance is a good idea, too, where, you know, if everyone could just get the courage to quit paying their taxes and, you know, funding all this stuff, this machine and everything.
Yeah, well, there's approaches there as well. I mean, when you look at things like Bitcoin and you look at community currencies like there's like one called the Plenty, I think in Pittsboro, I think South Carolina, North Carolina, I can't remember which one of those, but there's a number of different communities that have their own currency going. It's small enough that you know, that the Treasury Department's not going to come and send in the stormtroopers, and people are trading in this way. And while they're protecting themselves from an inflating currency like the dollar, they're also keeping money out of the entire central banking apparatus, which is of course the resources by which the warfare state does what it does. Without all that money in central banks, which then flows through our representatives, our so-called representatives, you know, that is all us voting with our dollars for continued war, for continued oppression, for continued loss of our basic liberties and rights. And, you know, it is just, it's a simple change we make. As soon as we start spending our dollars locally, that starts to fight that in a very easy way that doesn't involve throwing Molotov cocktails or you know, massing together hundreds of thousands of people in Washington, D.C., or any of that stuff. It's, we can just do it as communities. Choose to not participate. And as soon as we make that choice, then it's over. They can't pass laws telling us to go back to McDonald's or to, you know, reopen our account with Citibank. It just doesn't work like that.
Exactly. What do you think, Libby?
So, I find that interesting that you're also involved in the economics of everything besides the wars that we're perpetuating all over the world. So tell us about your take on the economics of the war economy, Zach and Bryce.
It's the root of it. I think if the hippies had been focused on ending the Fed, things would be a lot different today.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. And, if we chip away at the funding. I don't think we'll be able to get a lot of, well, at least not yet, a lot of people to take the "who is John Galt" phrase and actually live that. Getting people to move to alternative currencies, I think that's very doable. And then also these real world solutions of more than just a rally or a festival. And I actually have festival phobia after my concert tour and Paul Death. Calling this thing a festival, it's not am I right on this, Bryce? We're not talking a music festival, right? We're talking coming together from across the spectrum to come up with real-world solutions as far as ballot petitions. And Washington State and Colorado showed the country last year how effective a ballot petition and initiative can be when we legalized marijuana. Not just for medical use, but hey, it was a long day of work. also the legislation. There's got to be more than limiting Washington State's National Guard and the drones from Washington State skies. I'm looking to talk to some constitutional scholars and attorneys and legislators and see what we can cook up. I've done my share of waving signs and chanting and let's get effective.
Yeah.
At the local level.
Mm-hmm. It is kind of interesting figuring out what works and what doesn't and everything. Activism.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're all going through a change here in terms of whether we want to oppose something or create something new. How do you feel about that, Zach and Bryce? Do you feel that you're done with opposing governments and you want to now create something like communities that support hemp and support freedom? Do you feel a change in your directions here?
Well, I think that is opposing the centralized state. I mean, it's one and the same. It's just you're talking about tactics here. The overall goal is really the same as it was, when I was pushing for Ron Paul and when I was with 10th Amendment Center, is how do we break down this gigantic organism that is so complicated that, people in Washington, D.C., in jobs where they're supposed to be keeping track of stuff are still doing things like losing trillions of dollars at a time, and nobody knows where the money's going. I don't think that we're ever going to be able to reform that disaster. I think the only thing that we can do now is to move away from it, to kind of starve it, and to nullify through local action and direct action. And that's what I see being the only real way out. Of course, there's always full-blown anarchy and civil war, but I don't think that anybody's really, really looking to rush into that. I know I'm certainly not.
I know, me either.
We can do this peacefully. We can look at examples like Iceland that did it peacefully. Mm-hmm. They replaced their entire centralized banking, centralized government system, and their economy is now thriving, from what I understand. They're growing GDP at a faster rate than any other, I think, Western country at the moment. So, yeah, we can do this without ripping everything apart and replacing the Constitution and bloodshed. And I think we do it by, like I said, it starts with where do your dollars go?
Mm-hmm.
What are you voting for with everything you buy? And it comes down to that. And we can change the way that we do that. And that's the umbilical by which this giant beast, has grown to its current size. Without our consent, without our dollars, they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's holding what we're finding with many of our guests. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Holding dollars is a political statement these days. Cody Wilson stated, "We'll need the Bitcoin." Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's a hero.
Yeah,
I don't know if you're familiar with him.
What was his name again? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
Cody Wilson. He's
oh,
the guy
okay.
behind Defense Distributed and DefCAD.com.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. I'll give us the website again.
DefCAD.com. I'll send Mary Lou a YouTube of him.
Well, give our audience and how is it written?
Yeah, so this is the 3D printing, and mm-hmm. so what Cody's doing, the entrepreneur, side of Liberty of breaking the idea of what's possible and changing the status quo that way. I think it's just gives me such hope. Really amazing stuff.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him. Thanks for bringing his name up.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
I will shout his name from rooftops before the year is over.
Yeah, he's taken extreme personal risk in choosing to do what he's chosen to do. Yeah, Zach, if you thought that you were holding a hot potato with wearing your uniform, man, that guy, I real hope he's being real smart about indicating his location because, there's a lot of people that don't want to see what he's doing succeed.
Wow.
And most of them inside of the power structure. And the 3D printing and the way that we have this technology now where we don't need, a factory full of people in China somewhere. We have the ability now to produce things on a very small scale. And that's a key factor in where we're at right now. And of course, if going to a localized economy meant unplugging from all things electronic and getting rid of our devices, that's not going to be a very popular thing to sell to average people. So we have to, we have to find ways of doing that differently. And I think this is where you can sort of enlist the environmentalist left and say, look, we don't need to be wasting all of these fossil fuels and kicking all this carbon into the air, moving things across the Pacific Ocean. It's all about taking the values that we actually do share and finding ways to be able to fight together for a world that, that I want my kids and grandchildren to live in, where there's freedom and prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to ever do that if we remain divided.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think the left and the right agree on so many things, and I just like it when they get together, like civil liberties and, ballot access, all sorts of things. I like to I go to the Georgia Peace and Justice Coalition meetings here in Atlanta, and, I agree with them on so many things. And I like when we work together.
Awesome. That was, what made our debates such a great personal experience for me last year was, getting to hang out with Jill Stein and her staff and Rocky Anderson. That guy's just a cool person. Way more that we agree on than disagree. And when you can, focus on what you agree on, build coalitions, there's no stopping us.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think Libby dropped off, but she should be back in a minute. But anyway, I was looking at the Cody Wilson. That's interesting, a 3D gun maker, because I've heard about the 3D printing and everything. And so that's fascinating because, boy, that's in the news right now, all the gun control attempts and everything. So
yeah, good luck with the magazine ban.
That one's over. They can make those no problem.
But anyway, so let's see. Do y'all see a lot of gardening going on, homegrown gardens in your project, like bringing things locally, organic gardening? And
That's a huge mm-hmm. part of it. And up here in Seattle, if you don't live here, you don't really – it's hard to understand the zeitgeist right now, and it's really exciting because there's all these restaurants that are featuring locally produced food, and there's this really strong understanding of the value of the local economy. So particularly in groceries, in restaurants, these are concepts that people have already accepted, and there's groups forming right now. Like my friends, I have an app that is called Uber Local, and what it will do is connect people together in ways that totally cut out the currency problem entirely. Let's say that I've got a bunch of fruit trees in my backyard, and I've got crates and crates of apples that I don't have any use for. This app would connect people in your neighborhood that are looking for apples, you know, with you, the apple grower, and vice versa. And
mm-hmm.
So it's a huge part of it. Hold on a sec. There's something.
Oh, sure.
And I've already done tilling.
Oh, go ahead.
I just tilled a patch of ground out here by hand the other day.
You did what?
Tilling. I tilled dirt.
Oh, you do? Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Wow. I'd love to join a community garden, but go ahead.
Yeah, and I also was recently informed that we've already taken about $2 million out of the drug cartels' pockets.
Wonderful.
By increasing marijuana production here in Washington State. So, get out there and grow pot if you're listening to Washington, because
that is
not
great.
That's literally half of the cartel's profits comes from marijuana. And if
mm-hmm.
we can become self-sufficient with marijuana, that's a lot of crime that, we'll be stopping just by taking money from the cartels. My sister got her Mexican citizenship. She went the other way. She lived down there for 12 years, but they recently moved back up here because even in their small little town in southern Oaxaca on the Pacific coast, my brother-in-law saw a guy get abducted off the street. Until we end the war on drugs, we'll have, problems like that in Mexico, just like, we had Al Capone's when alcohol was illegal.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah,
that's right, because so many issues are tied into this. It's funny you bring up Mexico. Our guest last Thursday was Jeff Berwick, and he's living in Mexico now in Acapulco. And, it's funny. It's like, yeah, some of us are going the other way. And they talk about building the wall. And Jesse Ventura says, they might – be careful what you wish for. Some people who want that wall, because they might want to keep us in and everything. And then I also posted on the Libby Gadsden Facebook wall the other day, back to the marijuana thing at the hemp house. There's a picture built with hemp and furnished with hemp, carpets, furniture, drapes, walls, insulation, stucco. The hemp used in this home took 8 months to grow. Why is it illegal to grow hemp in the U.S.? So, yes, it's, so many issues are tied into, the local issue, like y'all are working on gardening and hemp and the currencies. And, I think that's the way to go to bring the system down. Wouldn't y'all agree?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Positive solutions instead of angry fighting.
Yeah. Sometimes they say when you fight something, you're kind of, manifesting what you're fighting against and everything. And so, and I think the government's just kind of getting so obvious, like, they're fighting against people gardening, and then also no raw milk. And so it's like, I wonder if that's opening people's eyes. Milk must be good. Raw milk must be good for you.
Yeah.
We're not, pasteurizing it and homogenizing it and, killing the enzymes and all that stuff. So I think that's the trend of the future, where everybody needs to get back to, local and farming and everything like that. And
yeah, I think it's like
go ahead.
I think it's like only 2% of our population is involved in making food for everyone.
Wow.
Wow. And I think historically that number for a stable system is a lot higher than that. So you're seeing that now in Seattle. You're seeing people that, you know, young people in their 30s that have their money from a tech startup or have their money from working at Microsoft and cash out and go start an organic farm. I ran into a guy a couple weeks ago in my neighborhood. He's a farmer now. And he loves it.
Wow.
it's something that I think instinctively, you know, we all sort of have our internal wiring. And I think there's a lot of people that just will naturally have a more enjoyable and more fulfilling life because they're just built to be a farmer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's a whole bunch of documentaries out there right now, like one I saw recently called Fresh. It was amazing. It talks about how accessible this is, how much better it is for the earth, how much better it is for people and jobs, and that medium-sized organic farms are the most productive style of agricultural operation that there is.
Wow.
And, it's very doable. It's going, and as we move towards that, we'll certainly see that things start to improve. You know, again, local jobs coming back, and food tasting better, and people's health improving. I mean, these aren't things that somebody in front of a podium will have to tell anyone. They'll all just understand it because they're experiencing it.
Mm-hmm. And there's another movement. I forgot the name of it, but they encourage people to eat food that's no farther away than 100 miles away. Have y'all heard about that? But, you know, that's in line with what we're talking about, you know, trying to encourage everybody to, you know, not eat food that's been trucked miles and miles, you know, using all this oil and, you know.
Right.
I'll always like bananas.
Oh, yeah, that is one food that you probably have to get a ways away. Yeah, it's like good luck eating like that. But I like the idea behind it. But anyway, well, I guess it's time to take another break. This is Mary Lee Van Houten with Gas and Rising, and we're talking with Bryce Shanka and Zach Carter, and we'll be right back.
Expired. I need to ask you one more question.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
Antiwartea.com is to promote anti-war activism, unlocking minds and shattering paradigms. By purchasing one of these t-shirts, you become an anti-war activist. www.antiwartea.com, bringing peace and human rights to the mainstream. Buy it, wear it, become it. Antiwartea.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants, I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show, beginning at 9 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog, only on Freedomizer Radio.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Did you know that healthcare workers around the U.S. are required to get flu shots they don't want to avoid losing their jobs? Or that some state laws allow children to consent to vaccines that can injure or kill them? Join vaccine rights attorney Alan Phillips and co-host Debbie Brook Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 11 Mountain, 12 noon Central, and 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Vaccines and Your Rights in the U.S. Learn about your rights and the latest vaccine news from around the world right here on Freedomizer Radio.
Let freedom ring throughout. Let no one trade your soul for dollars, dirty hands. Demand the truth, transparency. For we must be the masters of our destiny.
You're listening to Freedomizer Radio at freedomizerradio.com. Join us in the chat room. You can also listen and participate by calling 347-324-3704. Like Freedomizer Radio on Facebook and follow Libby Gadsden on Facebook. We're back. This is Mary Lou Van Houten, co-host and producer of Gadsden Rising. Libby Gadsden's having technical difficulties, so she's going to keep trying to get back with us. But we're talking with Bryce Shanka and Zach Carter. And we're talking about their new project. Switching back and forth. What is y'all's website? Oh, SeattleActivist.org. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So tell us some more about your project, what all y'all are doing and everything.
Well, go ahead, Zach.
Oh, I was just going to say I'll let Bryce take the lead on this one.
The first big task is to invite everyone to the table. And that's a trick, and it's not something that's easily done. But my thought is to really, like I said, just drop all the labels. Let's just leave those at the door. Let's just be Seattleites, and let's look at our world and decide, how do we want to move forward, and how are we going to choose to lead the people that just want just do the average American thing and not really think about this stuff too much. Because most of the people out there are going to be in that category, and that's all right. Who leads them is what will make the difference. And we already have strong leaders in Seattle on some of these various projects. Some of them are environmental. Some of them are tied to the Occupy movement, which I've actually explored extensively and spent a lot of time at when it first formed here in Seattle. But it's about finding that common ground and how do we all start to just work together, sort of like the nomadic tribes that are being threatened by the empire, and which is really kind of like what we're dealing with here. And we just have to find a way to put aside our differences and to realize we all pretty much want the same things, which is a better life and to exercise freedom. Go ahead.
I'd love to hear more about the Occupy people. What are they like? Because I like their spunk and everything and their energy and their passion. And I think we do have so much in common with them.
Yeah. When I went down there, I had already been invited out to speak at a few Tea Party events when I was in California and still active with 10th Amendment Center. And when I went down there, what I found was really far more in common than what separated the two groups. And ideologically speaking, yes, supposedly they came from opposite sides of the spectrum. And supposedly Occupy was like
all about socialism. I couldn't find any of the sort of prominent people in that camp, in the Occupy Seattle camp, who could tell me with a straight face that government's the answer.
Oh, good.
And I was really looking for that, because that was, you know, of course, what the media was saying about it, and there were tables set up by official socialist organizations and whatnot at the events, but nobody was paying attention to them. I think that it was, at least in Seattle, and as with the Tea Party, of course, it was a different thing in every city. You know, to try to describe what is the Tea Party would be an impossible task, because it was different everywhere I went. Certain Tea Party groups were really more like a Ron Paul meeting, and other groups were, you know, neoconservatives that were just looking for a way to get Obama out. It was really a broad range, and it was a mistake on the part of the media to categorize both Occupy and Tea Party movements in the way that they did, because what it really was just dissent. It was, hey, this is not working for us, and I'm going to take a stand, and I'm going to gather together with like-minded people and work on solutions. So that's really what it boiled down to. I never saw any one consistent, troubling thing any of the times that I was amongst either one of those groups of people. But the one common thing is the thing that they both share, which is they're trying to make it better. They're trying to improve it, trying to make it right, trying to stand up against this stuff. And the Occupy movement has now kind of splintered off in a way that was reminiscent of the Ron Paul campaign of 2007-2008. Once Ron Paul dropped out, a lot of these things started to spring up from the remnants, the Break the Matrix, and then there was a lot of different projects on that level that people were taking these ideas and moving it forward. And I kind of think that's what's happening with the Occupy movement now, because for a lot of those kids, it was the first time they had really spent time in critical thought regarding their world. And it was like, it was their, I don't want to diminish the value of it, because their effort was valiant, and they all, a lot of them chose to get arrested for what they believed in. But it was really their sort of first grade classroom in terms of, I think, developing these ideas, and they were enthusiastic, but they were also without a lot of the perspective that that it would take to get it to the level they wanted it to be at, which is successfully changing things. The ultimate model is what Gandhi did in India, and what he was able to accomplish in terms of inspiring peaceful revolution out there. I think the same principles work anywhere you are. And that is, you come together, you're resolute, you're peaceful. You do it in a way that the average folks don't necessarily come out in support, but at least will remain neutral to, or, hopefully will whisper support for in less public ways. And that's where Occupy kind of went off the rails. They sort of, I think, lost their connection to average people. Whereas at the very beginning, they had that. I was there for the march in Occupy Seattle. It was literally a couple thousand at least, and it was a lot of the union folks came out. It was groups from all over the place that were happy to go down and be involved with it. I mean, when you watched the column go by, it was just every type of person you could possibly imagine.
Wow.
And, so that, at that moment, it was right there, right within grasp of just really making it, a citywide thing where we all came together. But, that, of course, did not happen. And the demonization in the media and the federal crackdown, and now we're left to observe, what happens next with a lot of these people that woke up because of it.
Yeah. I saw a good chart on Facebook that somebody posted that what the Tea Party people are angry about, government's too much in our lives, and what the Occupy people are angry about, big business is too much in our lives, but it's you know, the big business together with the big government, you know, keeping out the small businesses. What's the problem? It's like, you know, both sides, you know, look at that and let's all work together.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what do you think about all this, Zach?
Yeah, I mean, the debates that I worked on last year, I was able to bring together the Nation magazine, which is you know, a very liberal, progressive magazine, and the American Conservative magazine on as sponsors
for
the same event. And that's just two examples. We had everybody from, you know, Restore the Republic to the New Progressive Alliance. Free Talk Live were sponsors. We had Tea Party groups, newspapers, Owl Creek Gazette out somewhere in, like, Missouri, Barstool Sports, the Drudge Retort, which is the liberal response to the Drudge Report.
That's a great name.
You know, I was able to cobble together a coalition that just helped us spread the word. And I think we can do the same thing, focusing on one issue, and you know, this you know, positive solutions focused experience event we're going to have in June, you know, on peace. I think we'll be able to cobble together a massive coalition from the left and the right. I'm excited to start getting to work on it. A little bit. Kind of got an outline, and as soon as I talk to a few constitutional scholars and attorneys, if there's any of them listening, feel free to find me on Facebook or write me. I'm zakrevolution@yahoo.com, and would love to have more than just drones in the guard as two things that we put out there, but I'm even going to call up the dude, the dude from the Big Lebowski.
You are.
In real life, he's Jeff Dowd, and he was one of the Seattle Seven. In the movie, played by Jeff Bridges, says, "Remember the Seattle Seven, man? It was six other guys and me." Well, that was real, so I'm a bit of a I like to track people down and find them and meet them. But
I had no idea the dude was based on a real person.
Yeah, and one of the Seattle Seven, they were arrested at an anti-war action that they were putting on. So I want to reach out to people like that too. I'd like to reach out to, you know, some of the Seattle musicians. When you have a celebrity at your event, you know, just like what we saw with Larry King moderating our debate last year, you know, it takes things to another level with the media. And even though, you know, we completely distrust the mainstream media, and for good reasons, it doesn't mean we shouldn't engage them. And something that I've learned with the events that I've put on, you know, talk to them. Let them know what you're doing. Even if it's just an end the Fed rally, give them a little something to talk about besides just your waving signs. Have a conference. Bring together people that are you know, looking at alternative money source, different models of currency, and have a little conference, and then let your local media know. In Little Rock, Arkansas last year, Christina Tobin spoke at a in the Fed rally there and conference, and we managed to get every mainstream media outlet down there, including their biggest local newspaper, that did just a glowing story on Christina.
Wow.
So, you know, just because we distrust the mainstream media doesn't mean we shouldn't talk to them and let them know about what we're up to.
I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of members of the media are looking for stories, they're looking for guests, events and all that. And so that's a great idea. And I'm also glad that you brought up celebrities because, you know, the people like us that are really awake, you know, we don't really care that much about celebrities, but the average person does. And going back to the gun issue again, and, you know, Sandy Hook and all that, did y'all see that Demand a Plan video that all the celebrities did? Did y'all hear about that?
I think I'm glad I missed that one.
Oh, yeah, it made me so mad.
I saw some reference to that, but I think I sort of, I thought I knew what the deal was with that just from looking at the headline. I didn't feel the need to dive into it too much more.
Yeah, I think I just came across it too, you know, where I was watching something and then it happened to pop up as an ad or something like that. Well, back when Obama was running, you know, all these celebrities, you know, participated in this, you know, video for Obama. And so this was kind of a similar thing. And, you know, they were like Newtown, Sandy Hook, Columbine, you know, just flashing all these different celebrities, you know, Demand a Plan, now, you know, and all this stuff. How many more? And so it just made me so mad that these, you know, celebrities were probably told by their agents, you know, oh, do this, you know, public service announcement and everything. And so, you know, I'm like, ugh, how many people are listening to these celebrities and being influenced by them and everything. But a funny thing that Alex Jones and his InfoWars people, they kind of did a takeoff on it where they, you know, were, you know, kind of, you know, counteracting it and everything. But I'm glad you brought that stuff up, Zach. I think that's really good points to make.
Yeah, and, you know, if to anybody listening, when you're planning an event in your community, if he can get, you know, either a few, they don't have to be famous people, you know, across the country, but you know, if you can get a few well-respected people in your community that can, you know, make a headline, you know, get noticed, putting their name in the headline of you know, your press release or when you call up your local media and let them know that, you know, this girl is going to be there,
mm-hmm.
you know, make it so.
Yeah, just yeah. like Star Trek.
Exactly.
You got to take what people currently view as their heroes and their leaders. And yes, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we can spend a lot of time talking about how depressing it is that football players and actors are what people hold as their sort of highest role models. But I think the reason why we're in this place right now is has to do with the breakdown of the localized structure and our disconnection from the concept of a hero or a leader. And, you know, once we all kind of lost our faith in elected officials and realized that they weren't that sort of person most of the time, then the only thing that was really left at that level of visibility were the athletes and the actors and the musicians and people that everybody could see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really critical that as a movement, as upper-level activists, that we spend a lot of time developing the young leaders of today and the young heroes. And, you know, work to put them into a position where they get the recognition that they deserve. You know,
mm-hmm.
people like Zach, people that are literally heroic and are fighting for everyone. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think once we have leadership in place in communities everywhere that people look to in the same way that they currently look to celebrities,
mm-hmm.
then we're gonna be in in good shape.
Yeah, I think so too. So, are there any other aspects of y'all's project that y'all haven't talked about yet, or would you like to bring up? Or
well, I think Bryce brought up. You know, we're gonna focus on one issue at this Resist Fest every year. So this year, peace, and I guess, who knows that next year? You got any ideas, Brett?
Well, the list is long.
Yeah.
There's no shortage. There's no shortage of topics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, peace, you know, the marijuana issue, the drone issue, You know, there's a lot of issues out there, and you know, depending on you know, what's kind of the hot topic in your community, mm-hmm. you know, host an event. It doesn't network with different groups, call them up, let them know what your ideas are, call your local third party political parties, and let them know they should be creating something that gets them out there, instead of just talking amongst themselves like they seem to become experts at.
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating when a lot of groups will just kind of talk amongst themselves. And another phenomenon that I just thought about are how many groups there are. I think starting in 2008, there's the Tea Party, then there's 9/11. I mean, not 9/11, the 9/12, Glenn Beck group. And then there's Freedom Force, and then there's We Are Change, and then there's Liberty on the Rocks. There's lots of different groups, to network all together and get together. What do y'all have any thoughts on that?
Yeah,
I was amazed at the number.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing I definitely feel very strongly about at this point is that we got to have localized, working, functioning models to use as an example. Mm-hmm. And I got burned out on doing things at the national level with 10th Amendment Center, because it just kind of seemed like, we were sort of just like carpet bombing and not really ever getting a whole lot of traction on the ground. Just in the same way you can't win a war through bombardment alone.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same for our movement. We got to have people in various places doing things on a very, very small scale.
Mm-hmm.
And start to really just change how neighborhoods and how communities work, and
mm-hmm.
our various, our social structure. I mean, it's kind of crazy to me that if you ask the average American how much they knew about their neighbor versus how much they know about, the President of the United States, most people know far more about this man that they're never going to meet in their lifetime.
Yeah.
About the family on the back side of the block. And
yeah.
That's the kind of core of the problem of how we got here and how we got so divided. We don't even
mm-hmm.
know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, talking about food, talking about peace, talking about things that we can really come together over as neighbors and as communities. I think it's, I really think it's the way forward.
Yeah, that is so important, to get to know your neighbors, because if, God forbid, there's an emergency, it's so important to know your neighbors, to, borrow things and lend things, if there's a shortage of food or anything like that.
Yeah, you do business. I mean,
Hurricane
Katrina was a huge lesson for me in terms of how much of a smoke and mirrors job the federal system really was, because there you had a situation where, if they had hit New Orleans with the same level of commitment that they went into Iraq with, things would have been fine. But it was just, that was obviously not the agenda, the stated agenda unfolding. It was a lot of really, really horrible bungling, and in some cases, I think interference with level support, and denying trucks of water coming
mm-hmm.
in from Walmart, just crazy. It was almost like, I think it would have been better if there was no federal government, as crazy as that may sound.
Doesn't sound crazy.
I think it actually did make things worse.
Mm-hmm.
We people in this republic are, I think, naive and maybe even foolish to think that if there is some kind of collapse close to you, that the feds are going to come in and make everything better. I mean, Hurricane Sandy, how long did it take for some of those folks to get the lights back on? And then, of course, the solution was to just shove them all in camps the same way they did in Louisiana.
Yeah.
camps where horrible things were happening, and they were basically treated like prisoners rather than Americans.
And they went around confiscating the guns in New Orleans,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah.
So they only know how to do things one way, and it's not the way that we should be welcoming as freedom-loving people.
Yeah. That was scary, you know, seeing everything that was going on in New Orleans. So it's kind of a lesson for us all to learn, you know, and preparedness.
Yeah, and prepare locally.
Yeah.
Prepare with your neighbors. Figure out what you're going to do as a community.
Mm-hmm. There's a page that I see on Facebook called Homesteading Survivalism. That's a real good page.
I'm already a fan of theirs, and I've been looking at their stuff for a long time, and right on the money. I mean, they teach you how to do things with garbage. They teach you how to do things in ways that don't require the big commercial, globalized economy, methods. And it's genius what they're doing. It's a really great Facebook page. Everybody should check that out.
Yeah, that's a great page. I really like it a lot. Well, do y'all have any closing thoughts or anything? We're running out of time. And I just want to say y'all's website again, seattleactivist.org. Do y'all have any closing thoughts?
Right.
Jack.
Don't
I think I got
people.
A lot of money out. It was really fun. I enjoy the free flow format and having a full 90 minutes to just to really have a conversation. So thank you.
Oh, thank y'all so much for coming on. It was great. Do you have any final thoughts, Zach?
I just want to share with people my optimism. I think we're on the right path.
Yay!
And we'll be there to pick up the pieces and show people how things should be.
Mm-hmm. That sounds great, because it is nice to end on an optimistic note. And I have hope, too. This is Gadsden Rising. I'm co-host and producer Mary Lou Van Houten, and we've been talking with Zach Carter and Bryce Shanka. And thank y'all so much for joining us, and we'll talk to y'all again tomorrow. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shade, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. And Embellus and Burma's film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We have never let them know that their world government has been identified, and they thought they just clawed the world economy, bring in a worldwide police state. When you see that, it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at ShadeTheMotionPicture.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.